All right, prayer. All earthly things with earth will fade away. But prayer grasps eternity. But I'm convinced of this, God does not hear prayer. He hears desperate prayer. Prayer is not a position on your knees. Prayer is not a position, it's a disposition. You get to the place where you'd rather sweat, you'd rather weep in his presence than laugh in anybody else's presence. You'd rather God whisper a secret into your heart that breaks you. Somebody give you the prizes that all the world covets. Prayer is almost the greatest human privilege that we have.
Well, good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing today? Awesome. Well, today is an exciting day as we're going to spend a lot of today praying together as a family and learning about prayer. But before we begin, we're going to start off today with praise. So would you guys stand as we worship together?
Oh, we look to the sun. Set our eyes on our Savior. See the image of love. Sing his praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun. Oh, we look to the sun.
Let's sing salvation.
Tearing through the dead of night, see the kingdom burst into color at the speed of light. Freedom shaking up the atmosphere as the shadows fade.
Our Savior, see the image of love.
grace.
Please be seated. Today we are focusing in on prayer, and I'm going to read our passage this morning. It's Luke 18, 1 through 8. It's going to set the context for what we're going to do this morning. This is what we read in God's Word. Luke says, "And he," that is Jesus, "told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." So always pray and not lose heart. And he gives a parable. What's the parable? Here it is. "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man." Jesus would say this is an unrighteous judge. "And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.'" So here we have an unrighteous judge. We have a person who's been victimized, doesn't have a lot of advocacy in her community, and so she's going to the only person who really has the title and the authority in order to bring justice into her life. "For a while, he refused to grant that justice. But afterward, he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And then the Lord said," with the parable, "hear what the unrighteous judge says." And here's the application for us this morning. "And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is God's word. Well, it is good to be with friends and family this morning, both in person and online. We want to welcome you guys who are watching online. If you're joining us for the very first time, we have been working through the Gospel of Luke. So it's a biography of Jesus written by this physician named Luke. And we've been working through this book for now over a year. I think it'll take us over 2 years to have finished this entire gospel, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and here we are in verses 1 through 8. And can you guess, given what was just read, can you guess what God wants us to do this morning? Pray. That's right. He wants us to pray, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, especially in light of what Jesus says in our text. Especially in light of some of the lessons that I think he brings out. And we're going to pray this morning. We're going to devote ourselves to different forms of prayer. You know, I'll tell you my propensity as someone who loves to read the Bible. I have these moments in my life where I get really interested in prayer, and so my default is to buy a book on prayer and to research Greek and Hebrew words about prayer and to dialogue with friends and family about prayer. But guess what I tend not to do? Pray. And so now I'm at this point in my journey where when I feel that inclination to buy a book, I just calculate how long it would take to read the book and then pray that amount of time, or at least try to. So we're not going to make that mistake this morning. We are going to be doers of the word and not hearers only, especially in light of what Jesus says here. You know, here we have a parable, and it is a parable of contrast. God is nothing like the wicked judge, okay? Do we know that? He's nothing like the wicked judge. And yet Jesus says, listen or hear what this judge says. In other words, see the contrast and respond to the lessons, because I think there are a number of lessons that we can learn from this parable. I think Jesus, in part, brings out certain suspicions that we may have about God because of which we don't pray the way that we ought to. We don't pray with persistence. And I see that in, well, verse 7. What do we read here in verse 7? "And will not God give justice to him," or to his elect, "who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?" Notice we have questions. Will not God give justice? to his elect who cry to him day and night, will he delay long over them? With the questions, I think Jesus is addressing some suspicions that people have about God. Like number one, is God truly passionate about righteousness? Is he truly committed to doing the right thing? Will he give justice? Number two, is he truly committed to me? Does he love me? Is he for me? I mean, do I really believe that? Will he give justice to his elect? And then number three, does he actually respond to prayer? Like, does prayer do anything at all? Will he give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? You see, if I can't answer all three of those questions in the affirmative, I might not pray. If I don't answer those questions, at least one of them in the affirmative, I might not pray the way that I ought to. If I'm unsure that God is truly committed to righteousness, if I'm unsure that he's committed to me, if I'm unsure that he's responsive to prayer, then why pray? And yet Jesus is saying, look at God. See the contrast. God is so much more committed to righteousness than you can ever imagine. He's far more committed to you than you can ever imagine. He's far more responsive to prayer than you can ever imagine. Therefore, pray and pray hard. And that's what we're going to do this morning. And we're going to do that a couple of ways. So at the end of the service, so I'm projecting past our time together, we will have elders in room 205. So that's the room outside of the main doors here. And the Bible says, if any of you are sick or are sad or need prayer, call for the elders of the church and let them pray for you. And so we're going to have elders available at the end of both services in room 205. So if you need that, that's going to be available for you. Before we close, we're going to have a time where we're going to collect these cards right here. And here's the assignment. From here on out, for the next couple of songs, take out one of these connecting cards. They are in front of you. And if you need personal prayer, there's a section on the back for you to write a prayer request. Do that. In fact, why don't you do me a favor right now? Grab the cards. Even if you're not going to fill them out, go ahead and grab them and hold on to them. Grab a writing utensil. And at some point, I'm going to encourage you to write out a request. Now, if you're watching online, you can go ahead and send us a request through the personal messaging function of our Facebook page, or you can write a prayer request in the comments section there as you're watching on live stream, or if you want to, you can send a prayer request via fbc@cheltonfbc.org. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to dedicate ourselves as a staff this week to pray over these requests, but also we're going to collect these towards the end of the service, and we're going to have you pass it to the end of your aisle, and we're going to put them in this basket, and we're going to pray for them corporately, okay? So make sure that you're filling these out for the next couple of songs. Also, we're going to have an opportunity to partake of Holy Communion together. So if you didn't grab the elements when you came in, we have some tables here, both upstairs and downstairs, for you to grab them, and we'll let you know when to do that. But that's going to be critical as we think about that second point, namely God's commitment to us. And then we're going to have an opportunity for us corporately to pray out loud in such a way that we can hear one another and give an amen to our requests. So, a lot going on this morning, and we want the Lord to be pleased in our time together. So let me do this. Let me pray for our prayers this morning, and then we'll begin in this movement as we honor God in our time together. So join me in a word of prayer. Father, we pray for our prayers. God, we ask that what we speak, what we say, what we sing will be filtered through, would be baptized in the intercession of your Son who is at the right hand of you interceding for us, that what is said, what is prayed, what is sung would be born out of the intercession of the Holy Spirit who is within us, groaning, praying with words too deep for our language. And God, we pray what the psalmist would pray. The words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in your sight. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In just one moment, we're gonna recite scripture back to God congregationally. I'm gonna have Ryan do that in a moment. Scripture is about God's passion for his righteousness. That God is absolutely committed to doing the right thing. God is committed to justice. But before we talk to him about that, let me talk about him and his commitment to righteousness. This is a parable of contrast. Will not God give justice? And the answer should be yes. Absolutely, God is committed to justice. Do we believe that? I mean, do we really believe that? We want you to process that. If you're not sure about that, you're not going to pray with confidence to the Lord. We have a wicked judge in our parable who is not committed to righteousness. There are wicked judges all over the world today. We don't know how they got into position, maybe because of power or influence, but they get into position and there's not a righteous bone in their body, and therefore they are bothered by people. And they only do what's right because they're bribed or because of social advancement or because they are being bothered or in order to put some type of appearance in front of people, but deep down, there's no righteousness in them. And Jesus is saying that's nothing like God. In fact, God is the very definition of righteousness. He says, will not God give justice? And what Jesus is telling us to do there is to think who we are praying to. Think about the name God. Think about who he is. And you will see that righteousness isn't something outside of him. Righteousness is something on the inside of him, intrinsic to him, defining of his very nature. In other words, there's only one tape measure in all the universe for righteousness, and it's God's nature. It's God's nature. There's only one tape measure to determine whether something is right and wrong in this universe. It's not your culture, it's not your political affiliation. It's nothing except the very nature of God, which means this: God must do justice. God must be committed to justice because he's most committed to himself. Do you see that? He is most committed to himself, which means, as Jesus raises the question, will God give justice? Absolutely. He is more passionate about doing right in your life than you are. He has more integrity and more of a plan for making wrongs right than you ever have been. And so when we pray with confidence. We pray with confidence, knowing that he's committed to righteousness. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to sing to God right now about how he is righteous, and then we're going to congregationally recite back to him from his word how he is righteous. So first of all, let's bow our hearts, let's bow our heads, and let's sing to him about his righteousness this morning.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great
our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God. Age to age, he stands. Time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, lying. Great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Sing how great, how great. Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Oh, he holds the name, you are the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. You are the name above all names. You are worthy. Time, let's sing how great. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Serve an amazing God. There's power when we speak God's word. And the scripture says that God's word does not return empty or void, but it accomplishes what he desires and the purpose for which he sent it out. So when we as a congregation declare God's goodness, there's powerful work in spiritual realms. So that's what we're going to do this morning, is together we're going to speak God's word out. It's going to be up on the screen, and we're going to read it, and then we're going to take just a little bit of time to reflect or meditate on what we had just read. Now, many of you have experienced God's greatness because you've needed him so desperately, and he's been there for you. It says, call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. And many of you have experienced that, and I even hear it in your praise this morning. And if you haven't been there, guess what? You will be at some point. You'll need God, and he'll be there for you. All right, let's read together. So everybody with me, all right? Don't leave me hanging up here by myself. God, your work. Now we're going to leave that on the screen. Let's just think about that for a second and give God glory. We don't serve a God that fails like we do. We serve a God that is perfect and just. It's amazing. Next scripture. Okay, here we go. You guys did great on the first one. Let's do her again. We declare. Let that soak in. Who it is that we serve. Who are we that he loves and knows us? Who are we that he calls us to serve him? Praise God that he does, though. Next scripture. Here we go. Three times. We praise you. As life goes on and the storms hit, if you're standing on that rock, you know exactly what they're talking about. Because he doesn't shake. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he can handle your concerns, your complaints. He can handle your pain. He can handle your future and your past. We serve an amazing God. And the last scripture we're going to read together, we affirm. There's times in your life where you will question and doubt and wonder, but God's big enough to handle that. And when you stand and take a stand and say, regardless of my doubts, regardless of my fears, regardless of what I'm experiencing, I serve a God who is there for me. And I choose to believe in my doubts. That's when God comes rushing through. In amazing ways. Sometimes not right away, but you will experience it. He will never, never fail you.
Let's sing. He holds the name above all names.
Name above all names. You are worthy. Name above all names. Name above.
together one more time. How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great. How great is our God? One more time, we sing, how great. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
Amen. You can have a seat for a moment. When we hear those words, how great is our God, should send us to prayer. And in this illustration that Jesus gives, he uses this little word that kind of gets poked at as we start to pray. And the question is God actually committed to me? So I can believe that God is big. I can believe that God is great. I can believe that God is powerful. But is he committed to me? He uses this word to the elect in this illustration. And that word elect may not mean a lot to us, but here's what it means. Hear this, church. This means to the chosen. This means to every person in this room that loves Jesus. God is saying, to you I will bring justice. To you I am committed. To you I am faithful. There's this amazing thing that I don't want to ever miss. That as God's people, as Christians who have become new creations in Christ, we are God's children. And God is committed to his children. Just like I'm committed to my child, to my children, you're committed to your children. In the most eternal way, God is committed to you. And we have to revisit this because one of the ways the accuser comes after us, our world comes after us, is to ask this question, are you really God's? Is your identity really in Christ? Is God still faithful to you even on your worst day? Prayer makes me look and say, well, I believe that for everybody else, but do I believe that for me? Is my identity in Christ, or is my identity my failure, my sin, what the world says, my value, those days where you feel worthless? Is God committed to me? And this is what we're going to reflect on as we head into communion. And I want to read for a moment from the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul starts out a letter to the church in Ephesus by declaring who they are as the chosen, as the elect, as the followers of Jesus. And I'm going to read this. I want for a moment just to picture yourself here. If you are a follower of Jesus, these words from Paul are to you. It says this in the book of Ephesians, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God. Just stop there for a second. You right now have peace with God. You have peace with God. Peace with God from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Hear this. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. That's you right now. God is committed to you. He has bought you with the blood of his son. And as we reflect, and we're going to go to communion in just a moment, there is no better illustration than just how committed God is to you than the fact that he sent his son and shed his son's blood for you. He broke his son's body for you. That's the word that Jesus uses. It's for you. So in a moment, we'll have some truths about your identity in Christ up on the screen. And here's what I want to encourage. You'll see it up there. And for some of them, you're going to hear that or read that, and you're going to feel yes and amen. I believe that. And in those, praise God. All truth should turn into praise. Praise God in your prayers. But I think for some of us, the words up there are going to stick a little. They're going to catch, and we're going to doubt and say, is that really true about me? And here's what I want to encourage us. They're up there for about 20 seconds. Ask God to meet that unbelief. Ask God to help you feel and know what is true about you right now, not in the future, not someday when you're better, right now as a son and daughter of God. And then after we're done, I'll come back up and I'll lead us in communion together. If you don't have a communion cup, this is a great time to walk up and grab one and maybe prepare it a little bit. But let's spend this time committed to knowing how committed God is to you. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for you. In you, you have called us your sons and your daughters. In you, we have freedom and life and eternity. We know you are committed to us because you sent the God-man, the only perfect person, the creator into creation, and he died for it and rescued it and loved it. I pray for this time of reflection, Father. Stir our hearts. Help us be real honest with you. The places that stick in our heart, God, help us to believe you in prayer. Amen.
As Christ is formed in me, so, so good to me. Oh, to think where I would be if not for you. Oh, you've been so, so good to me. You've been so, so good to me. Oh, to think where I would be if not for you.
In the book of Luke, Jesus says, "This is my body broken for you." Church, if you believe that, eat. He says, "This is my blood shed for you." Church, if you believe that, eat, trusting that if he would die for you, he is committed to you. He will answer your prayers. He will hear your prayers. Let's eat together. Father, we trust you. We trust that you would go to the cross for us and that you would raise us up and that you, who began a good work, will be faithful to complete that. Father, we give you all of our fears and our doubts and our messiness, Lord. We trust you as a good father. We thank you for your son. We do that in the name and through the power of Jesus. Amen.
Stand and sing with us.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe.
Come on, can we declare this?
Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Please be seated. God's more passionate about his righteousness than you could ever imagine. He's more committed to you than your wildest dreams. Look at Christ. Look at what he's done for you. And now we want to focus in on the fact that he's more responsive to your prayers than you give him credit. And if you believe he's responsive to your prayers, we asked you guys to fill out these cards. And now that you have, why don't you pass them down the aisle, and we're going to have the ushers bring them up here, and we're going to pray for you. Jesus asks the question, will God delay long over you? Will not God do justice by you to those who cry out to him day and night? And the answer is, of course. And in fact, I mean, this parable, more than anything, is a parable about the persistence of this lady who keeps praying and praying and praying, and it seems like nothing's going to happen. But eventually, as she seeks, as she keeps knocking, as she keeps asking, she receives an answer. Jesus says, learn the lesson from the widow, learn the lesson from the unrighteous judge. You know, here you have this gal who is, you know, blowing up this judge's phone, right? Standing in front of his house with signs, give me justice, utilizing the court system in order to try to get this unjust judge to bring justice into her life. And again, the point is not that God is like that unjust judge that you have to bother and pester until he responds to you. It's quite the opposite. The point is, if this guy finally gives in and does so, why? Because he doesn't like the woman, doesn't want to be bothered by her, wants to get her out of his hair. In other words, he answers the prayer positively, precisely because he does not love her, does not like her, cannot stand her, wants to get her away. How much more will your heavenly Father, who loves you in so many extraordinary ways, just look to Christ, look at our last point this morning, how much more will he respond to you? How much more is he willing to answer your prayer? And so Jesus says, pray and keep praying. You know, a part of supplication and petitionary prayer is God teaching us that he's not a cosmic genie, right? He's not a vending machine in the sky that we just put in our tokens and we get a result. You see, a part of the petition and the delay is that it draws us into a relationship with our Father. You see, I love to give good gifts to my kids, but I don't like when they come to me just wanting what I have, right? When they come to me and it becomes a place of relationship, of intimacy, of connection and communion, I mean, that's what it's all about. So it is with God. So it is with God towards you. In the petition, he's drawing us into a closer relationship as child to Father. And get this, and I don't know the half of the mystery, as God calls us into petitionary prayer, supplicating to him, asking him for things, in some sense, he's drawing us into his own life. And this is what I mean. Did you know that God prays? God prays. And that sounds odd, doesn't it? What do you mean God prays? Why would God pray? Well, I mean, that's a question, but we know that he does pray because the Father is sought by the Son. The Son intercedes to the Father. We also know that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in Romans chapter 8 to the Father. And presumably the Father is responsive. And so we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in communion, in communication. And did you know it was out of that communication stuff has happened, like creation. You want to know how creation happened? Through prayer. Father, Son, Holy Spirit in communion with each other. Creation happens. Hey, did you know how redemption happens? Through prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in time, eternity, and time past, bringing a covenant together, a covenant of redemption in which we are saved. And did you know that new creation heavens, the new heavens of the new earth, is an answer to prayer? The prayer within the Trinity, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, Lord Jesus. In other words, prayer accomplishes the most amazing things. And when God calls us into supplication like he is this morning, it's to be brought into the very activity by which God does the most amazing things in this world. And so as we pray this morning, this is not about a slot machine in heaven. It's not about trying to manipulate God. It's not about scratching his back so that he could scratch our back with answered prayer. It's about a relationship. It's about communion. And it's about participation in the very life of God by which miracles take place. That is at the heart of prayer. So it's at this time, we're going to invite you as a congregation to pray out loud. And we got lots to pray about, don't we? Think of the acronym ACTS. We got enough to pray about in adoring God. So adoration, but then we have our own sin to confess, don't we? We have enough there to pray about, but then we have so many blessings. T, thanksgiving, to thank God for. And then we got all sorts of areas to supplicate to God over. So many needs. I want you to get a sense of the needs in this body. And I know this is just scratching the surface. We got brothers and sisters who are watching online. And I was able to look at a few, and a lot of heartbrokenness, a lot of requests for loved ones to be saved, sick people to be healed. May the Lord show compassion and love to my friend who has cancer. Pray that she will receive the gift of salvation. I need his wisdom and peace. For another person's salvation. Pray for my kids and their spouses to give their hearts and submit to God through Jesus Christ. For Don Knopp to be made well, to come home. Pray that I will not need chemo. I meet with the oncologist this Friday. Pray that my fear would go. Pray for God's word and timing for a difficult conversation with my sons and my daughters. Prayer for healing. Let's pray. Father, we bow our hearts this morning, and we only make requests because you invite us to. We have no entitlement. God, we are not bartering with you. We have nothing to give to you. It all belongs to you. It all belongs to you, and yet you invite us in to bring our needs, our pain, our sickness, our doubts, our questions, our hurts, our habits, to bring it all. Lord, not to pester you, Lord, but to be brought into such intimacy with a Father who loves to give good gifts to those who ask. And so, God, we come to you, and you say you will not delay long over us, that you are eager to answer prayer. God, you get glory, we get joy and good. And as I'm seeing so many of these requests, these are good requests for the salvation of loved ones, for cancer to be healed, for chemo to not be necessary, for loved ones to be made right. God, so many good requests. We just think that this is your will, and somehow you bring us into this intercession that we see in your own life to see this happen. And I don't know how that takes place, but we're just going to be obedient to you this morning and pray, Lord, would you accomplish your will, Lord, in these people's lives, Lord. And there's a lot of requests that are unspoken, that aren't even written down, that are coming through email, that are being placed in comment sections online. God, we pray, Lord, as we look to you, draw us closer to your fatherly heart. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, with perspective. And give us the perseverance that we need. And Father, may we trust you for the good gifts of answered prayer. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and let's close with one song on a tone of celebration. And let's be thinking about this image this morning, the needs in our congregation. And let's be committed to praying for one another. And let's pray with optimism that our God is eager to answer our prayer. But let's go out with a tone of celebration.
I'm
As you go, remember we have our elders available for prayer in room 205. That's right across the auditorium right here, a central level. Summer launch is coming up here very soon. Get your kids and your grandkids and your neighborhood kids signed up for that. We have a baptism scheduled for the end of this month. And so if you've embraced Christ and you want to know what to do next, get baptized, let us know. And then want to let you know that in the month of July, the first three Wednesdays, we're going to be hosting a workshop on how to share your faith. None other than Greg Laurie will be flying down here. Nope, it's going to be a video from him. But this remarkable curriculum on how to share one's faith. And we have Robert and April Rocha who are going to be down in the Info Center to sign you up for that. So with that in mind, bless you, and we'll see you next week.